All right, hello and welcome back to another episode of Just a Girl from Cleveland. This is episode 143. Getting this episode out to you a little bit later this week, but it's been a little bit of a crazy week. So I'm here, I'm ready to discuss a couple of different topics. Right now on my TV, I have March Madness going on, just finished watching Texas win. And I've had the TV on pretty much all day, just in the background with a different game on. And, you know, honestly, as someone who is not a regular consumer of college basketball, like I am not someone that is night in and night out watching college basketball games. There are just simply not enough hours in the day for me to consume every single sport and every single league out there. So I feel like college basketball is one that kind of takes a hit for me. I'll check in with Ohio State sometimes, or just more so follow along online with whatever, you know, the bigger storylines are that are happening, or just the overall, you know, Big Ten standings, you know, full NCAA standings, just to see where things are. But I'm not someone who's sitting there constantly watching games. When it comes to March Madness, though, I get fully locked in the first day. I am rooting for every upset, enjoying every single comeback, I'm filling out multiple brackets, making bets. Like, I just really, really have fun with March Madness. I think my favorite game today was watching Dayton come back, Ohio team. You know, it felt like they pretty much had blown it and it was not going to happen. And then they had a massive comeback. I believe they ended up winning by 3. So congratulations to the Dayton Flyers. Very exciting to see an Ohio team win always. I had tweeted this earlier, but it's funny. Ohio comes up a lot in just everything. Like, Ohio is a pretty largely populated state in this country, so it makes sense that like a lot of people come from Ohio. But every time the broadcast would say either a team from Ohio, a player, or a coach from Ohio, I would get so excited. I'm like, that's my guy. Like, gotta root for him. That's my guy. We have that connection. And you know, it's kind of crazy because it, like I said, makes sense. There are a lot of people that come from Ohio, but it just feels like Ohio breeds so many talented people. Like, in sports or any other industry, there's always so many people from Ohio. It's such a largely connected state with just success. So I fully believe that this state breeds good people. I don't think they always stay here. A lot of times they go elsewhere and take their talents to other places and share that with the world. But it is cool to, you know, always hear that and have those connections. So I have fun in enjoying that and hearing that. So that's been fun to watch all that today, and we'll be watching it for the next, you know, few weeks, including the women's tournament, which I am very excited about, to watch Caitlin Clark and watch everyone rally, you know, around her. And, you know, there's going to be games in Cleveland for the women's tournament, which is really cool. Don't know if I'm going to make it to any. They're actually quite expensive because of the Caitlin Clark effect and just the general eyes on women's basketball right now, which is really cool. And I'm very happy for them that that is the case. So I don't know if I'll make it to any games, but in general, excited to watch the women's tournament as well. So it is that time of year, and we're going to enjoy it. Okay, so a couple of different things to get into today, Browns related, and then I have one non-Browns NFL topic to get into as well. There's only been a few things, I think, that have happened since I recorded last week, so not too much to get into, but let's start with some Browns news. So the Browns hired Mike Vrabel, which for me was extremely unexpected. They hired him as a coaching and personnel consultant. So I got to say, this shocked me more than any player signing that they made during free agency. I just was not expecting this. I guess maybe I should have, and maybe there were reports out there that were talking about him at the combine with Barry and Stefanski. He was on the field scouting players for them. He was also in a suite with them. So I don't know if that was widely reported, but I personally did not see that. So when the news came out that they were bringing him in as a consultant, I was really shocked by it. You know, I was shocked originally for Vrabel when he was fired by the Titans. I feel like he kind of became a scapegoat for an organization that just didn't have a lot of talent, and it kind of all ended up falling on him. I think he is a really well-respected coach in this league, liked by players, and I am confident he is definitely going to get another head coaching opportunity eventually. This offseason, he had interviewed for the Panthers, Falcons, and Chargers jobs, and obviously did not get any of those, but I do have to believe at some point he is going to be able to land somewhere. I mean, you know, every year there's obviously a new cycle of open positions out there, and maybe just not a right spot for him this offseason, which it happens, but I think teams are kind of dumb for not giving him an opportunity to be a coach. So obviously this is great in one sense because he's an Ohio guy from Akron, played at Ohio State, has the connections to the state, and, you know, I think he grew up a Browns fan. I had read something, actually, I believe, that he was at the Browns' last game before the team moved to Baltimore in 95, that he was present at Cleveland Municipal Stadium for that game. So definitely has deep, deep ties to the city and the state in general, which I think is always fun. And, I have to believe that with a guy like Mike Vrabel, with his personality and those ties, I think having a guy like that in the locker room with the players could be really beneficial to just get that buy-in from everyone, make them feel that connection to the city, the fans, how much football means to the people here. I really could see him being a valuable piece of the puzzle in the coaching staff that could have some value. You know, the other piece of this that really made sense once you started to think about it was the connection with him and Jim Schwartz. So Jim Schwartz was hired by the Titans a few years ago in 2021 while he was trying to figure out what his next, you know, hope, either potentially a head coach or a defensive coordinator job was going to be. He was hired by the Titans and spent some time under Vrabel. So I think this was kind of a way for Jim Schwartz to return that favor. And now Vrabel is going to be under Jim Schwartz for, you know, the most part, because obviously defensive-minded guy. So I think they'll be working closely together, which I think is really cool. Jim Schwartz had some really nice quotes in past interviews about his time with Vrabel and just how, you know, he kind of was out of sorts when he was trying to figure out his next coaching job, you lose some confidence, I think, in those moments and your identity as a coach and what you believe in. And Vrabel really, you know, brought him in, helped make him feel a part of things and helped him really get his mojo back. So I think that's really cool to see their connection. And Schwartz has said he just will forever be thankful for what Mike Vrabel did for him. So love to hear that. I think from Vrabel's perspective, the move makes sense because he probably, as a head coach, one of his weaknesses was more the analytical side of football. That's just not how he approached the game in general. So I think it might be good for him to be around a really analytically driven organization and maybe pick up some things and some tactics of how to run a team from what Kevin and AB have built that he can take on with his next job and just grow and change in that way. So I think it makes a lot of sense for him. Fun fact that a lot of people were talking about is that the Browns now have three of the last four coach of the years on their staff, two of them being Kevin. Obviously, Kevin has won it twice in the last 4 years. But then Mike Vrabel actually did win the award as well. So that is that's pretty cool, I would say. I think he won that in 2021. That was the year I believe the Titans were the one seed and then choked in the playoffs by losing to the Bengals. I'm pretty sure that was the season that he won Coach of the Year. So just cool from an award standpoint that we have so many award winners on this team. But look, in terms of Stefanski and what this means for him, I don't think it means much for him. A lot of people are putting out some greater message into the world that, oh, Stefanski's on the hot seat again, which how many times do we have to keep saying he's on the hot seat before we just realize that he is still here and he is still doing this? I still think Stefanski is going to get extended soon. I have to believe that both him and Barry have that extension looming in the future. And I think this decision to bring Vrabel in fell on Barry and Stefanski. I don't think this was a Jimmy decision saying, hey, you guys need to bring him in and we're going to really put the heat on, you know, Kevin, that if things don't go well, Vrabes is going to step up. I really don't think that is the case. I think Jimmy has been a lot more hands-off from what we know in recent years. And I think this is Kevin and AB saying, hey, we want to get better. You know, obviously they did a really great job with what they had last season and they made things work, but they realize that they need to continue to evolve on both offense and defense in order to, you know, continue to win at the level that they won at last year, but also try to win the division and win a playoff game. Like they realize that they can't continue doing exactly what they did last year and expect the same results. So I think it made a ton of sense for them to just say, hey, they've already shown that with other hirings they've made. And this is just another one of bringing in different minds to figure out what is going to work best for this team to help them have success on both sides of the ball. And just in general, I think it's a good sign for Stefanski that these minds like a Jim Schwartz, like a Vrabel, that they want to be a part of this organization, that they don't have to take those jobs. Vrabel certainly did not have to take a consulting job with the Cleveland Browns after just being a head coach of another team. This was not something he had to do, but it's something he thought was going to benefit him, which I think is really a testament to what, you know, Barry and Stefanski have built in this organization and have become really respected league-wide. So I think that is a really big deal and something to admire. Okay, so enough about Vrabel. Wanted to quickly touch on Tyler Huntley, another signing that the Browns made. This was obviously a little bit of a controversial signing because there are now four quarterbacks on the roster: Deshaun, Jameis, Tyler Huntley, and DTR. Usually this early into the upcoming season, you don't have four quarterbacks on your roster. Sometimes you might have it at some point over camp. Maybe there's an injury. There's various reasons that that could happen, but it is a little bit strange for this early in everything to be having four quarterbacks. It could mean a couple of different things. I think one, it could mean that they potentially don't believe in DTR and, you know, what his full potential is, and they don't trust him and want to have more secure backups. Like I said, I know it's good to have more QBs for camp, but it does make me a little worried about what they feel about him. Because if they saw a lot of potential in him, I would think that they would be wanting to put more into that rather than bringing other guys in the organization. Another thing I think it could be would be maybe concern about Deshaun's health. Obviously, he's coming back from this injury, and that having more quarterbacks in the building kind of hedges your bet on whether or not he is going to be okay, how long it takes him to come back and be fully okay, and what that looks like. It could also be just a classic Andrew Berry move of kind of bringing in more assets than you need and hoping that you can trade away one of those assets in a moment where a team gets extremely desperate, and you can get a, you know, lower round draft pick for that asset, which, you know, is something we have seen before. He did that with Josh Jobs and trading him away for a lower round pick. And that ended up working out beautifully, as just we saw Josh Jobs jump around from team to team last season. Obviously had success in brief moments, but the Browns being able to get a draft pick back in that situation was a really big deal. And, you know, those low round draft picks might seem like nothing, but they add up over time. Those things play into a trade like the Jerry Jeudy trade, where you just needed to give a couple picks to be able to get something like that done. You know, those things add up, and they do become valuable when you need them in certain moments. And Andrew Berry has shown that he loves having those in his deck of cards to play at any point in time. So I think that is a very likely option, that this is just Barry trying to mastermind of, hey, if a quarterback gets hurt for another team at some point during camp, a team gets desperate, maybe I can trade away one of these four guys for another asset and that would be a huge, that would be a big deal, because it's not easy to find other ways to get assets like that. From a player perspective, I think all of the QBs are pretty unique and different. They don't really all have like a similar profile in any way. So I don't think there's any, you know, thinking behind that where it's like, oh, we all wanted similar quarterbacks to Deshaun Watson's play style, because that's not what they're bringing in. Like, especially with Jameis, he's more of a gunslinger. So I think, you know, they aren't thinking in that sense that they want, you know, copy paste of Deshaun Watson as his backup. Oh, and just a side note for the quarterback room. I'm really already very entertained by the signing of Jameis Winston. The Browns have posted a couple different videos that are just so funny, and I don't think he's even trying to be funny, but he is just, everything he does is so naturally funny, and I am just getting a kick out of it, and I just know as the season goes on, we're going to get incredible content from him across the board. He's always willing to just kind of say whatever, and I think it's going to be so much fun. So I'm really enjoying that already. If nothing else, if Jameis does not step on the field at one point in the season, which highly unlikely, he's probably going to have to take the field at some point in time. If he doesn't, though, he has done enough by providing me great social media content to enjoy. So very much appreciate that. Okay, last Browns topic I wanted to talk about was the Jerry Jeudy extension. So I think this is the big one that has eaten up all the Browns discussion. So the Browns extended Jerry Jeudy 3 years, $41 million guaranteed up to $58 million. This was a shocker. I think even if you like Jerry Jeudy, this was a shocker, because the Browns obviously had him on a 1 year deal. It was going to be about $13 million. And you felt like, hey, if he plays really well this year, then they extend him at that point in time and maybe move on from Amari, or, you know, I don't know what else they would do at that point, but that could be a potential scenario. I don't think a lot of people saw them immediately signing to him to an extension, just given his overall production over the last couple of years, the way he fit in with the culture in Denver and just kind of really struggled at certain points of time. It is a little bit of a gamble and a risk to be signing him to a 3-year extension like that. So I do have some concerns. I'm not above being critical of the moves that this organization makes. And I know, you know, for this coming season, it's only going to be a couple million more dollars. It's more just the future buy-in without being certain about what he's going to look like. That does worry me a little bit. And it's basically just a bet that he is going to work out and that he's going to produce, and that, you know, even if he doesn't have an, you know, top five receiver season in the league this year, that maybe, you know, the next 2 years he takes on more production if you move on from some of the other receivers within the room. I think that's kind of the bet that the Browns are making. It's a similar bet in a way, I think, that they made with David. David's was a little bit different because David was homegrown, had been a part of the organization for many years at that point in time. And I think they just had more of a personal investment in his growth. So I think it's a little bit different in that sense, but David had not quite lived up to his full potential yet when the Browns signed him to that extension. And then this past season, we obviously saw that David went, you know, above and beyond what we could have expected for him to do. Breakout year was just incredible from start to finish, and is worth every penny we're paying him. So the Browns bet in that sense, and they won. So you just hope that, you know, they are able to do that again. I don't want to be all negative, because in the same breath, I think the people who say there should be no optimism about this, he sucks, it's going to be horrible, this is wrong, I think that's also disingenuous. I don't think his stats have been as horrible as people like to make them seem. So 2020, he played in 16 games, had 856 receiving yards. 2021, he only played in 10 games, 467 receiving yards, so I don't really look at the numbers for that season. 2022, 15 games, 972 yards, so he almost had an 1,000-yard season in 2022, and then in 2023, he had 758 yards in 16 games. Look, not a top 5-10 receiver in this league yet, but considering the quarterbacks that he was playing with, he's played with Teddy Bridgewater, Jeff Driskel, Drew Lock, Brett Rippon, Russell Wilson, and there was one more, Jared Stidham, at the tail end of this past season when they were like, we're moving on from Russell Wilson and we really believe in Stidham and who he is as a quarterback. Chaotic move for the Denver Broncos, but nonetheless, those are the six quarterbacks that he has played with in the past 4 years, and there has not been a lot of consistency, obviously, and just frankly, a lot of talent, you know, within that group. So it is hard to judge him to the fullest, and he still did have a few years of decent production, even with, you know, those quarterbacks that he had to play with. So I don't think we need to think this is going to be an automatic failure. I think there is still a ton of potential there. And if Deshaun is able to be the quarterback that the Cleveland Browns hope that he is going to be, I think Jerry Jeudy could have a ton of success on this team. I'm not sure if he's going to have some, you know, crazy receiving yard numbers this season, because you have to think that, like, he is splitting targets with someone like Amari Cooper, someone like David Njoku, these guys who do eat up a lot of targets. So I'm not sure if he's going to have some crazy, like, you know, 1300 yard season or something like that. He might, you know, hit close to 1,000 or something, and that would still, I think, be a huge success, just given the fact that there's only so many guys that can be targeted within any given game in any given moment. So that's going to be something I think we'll have to just keep into context with this coming season. And look, the league is about taking bets all of the time. Teams do this constantly, so it's not crazy for them to do this. You have to do it. You can't play it safe all the time, because if you are always waiting for a player to show their truest potential before you sign them, you're going to run out of money and you're not going to be able to sign as many players, because as soon as that player produces at that level, their price tag goes up drastically. So you do have to hedge your bets at certain points in time and say, hey, I know that this guy hasn't produced at this level yet, based on the tape we've reviewed of him, based on the conversations we've had with him, how we see him fitting into this offense, we're going to make this bet on him. Because if it pays off, we're going to look extremely smart. They got to do it at some point in time. So I don't think it's the end of the world. I thought they might give Amari an extension over Jerry Jeudy, but I think age might be a huge factor. Amari is going to be 30 in a couple of months. I think in June he turns 30, and Jerry Jeudy is only 24. So I think just looking into the future, they felt like, you know, Amari might be closer to, you know, the end of his career, honestly, than Jerry Jeudy is. And it makes sense to invest in someone at a younger age. Okay, so yeah, we'll just see how it goes. That's one of those things. You just have to let it play out and hope for the best. The last thing I wanted to touch on, not Browns related, but within the division, is the Justin Fields move to Pittsburgh. I was pretty sad about this, honestly. I was happy when they signed Russell Wilson, because I obviously don't have a personal connection to Russell Wilson, but I do have a personal connection to Justin Fields, and to see him to go to a rival city is definitely disappointing. I think what I'm most interested to see with this is whether or not they choose to start Russell Wilson. Like all of the reports that are out there are saying their plans are to start Russ and that it's not a quarterback competition. I think that would be incredibly stupid of them. I think it should be a quarterback competition, and that, you know, between Justin and Russell Wilson, that I think they both deserve a shot to compete for that job. I don't think it's automatic that Russell Wilson should be the starter. So I guess we'll just kind of see how that goes. I don't hate, in terms of an objective person, if I didn't hate the Pittsburgh Steelers as a organization, I don't think this is a bad move. I don't think it's bad to just bring in a couple of different quarterbacks and say, hey, we don't like what we had in this room. We just don't believe in Kenny Pickett anymore. We want to move on. So let's just bring a couple of different guys in and see what happens and see if the cream rises to the top and we figure out one of these guys could be our next guy. They weren't in a position to draft high. And, you know, drafting is always taking a shot. So I think maybe they just felt like, if we take, you know, a couple of shots of guys within the league, we can see if one of them is able to be that for us. You know, I think it's so hard to find good quarterbacks that I think it's a smart move. I also think it's pretty bold of them to move on from Kenny Pickett after drafting him, what, 2 years ago? He has not been there that long. First round draft pick, that is a bold decision. And you kind of got to respect it in a way that when you see something's not working, you say, it's not working, we have to move on. And then you just go from there. So will be fascinating to see if there's a competition in camp, what happens from there. If one of them wins the job and starts sucking and the fans start chanting for the other one, it could be really dramatic. So I am very fascinated to see how all of that goes. Okay, so that is all I have for you guys today. I'm going to get back to watching some March Madness over here on this TV and enjoy that. I will not be able to record next week. I will be out on a work trip, so won't be able to sit down and record, but there isn't a ton going on right now, so I am fingers crossed that nothing really big happens that I'm like, oh shoot, I need to talk about this right now. Hoping for the best there, but I think after this, I'm going to start really digging into some draft content since I haven't really touched on that in the podcast yet. And we're about a month out from the draft, so it's really not that far at this point. And I think that's the direction I'm going to start going in next. So things are moving. But thank you all so much for listening. Very much appreciate it. If you could leave a review or rating, that would be great. If you could subscribe on the YouTube, leave a comment on the YouTube, I would very much appreciate that. Thank you guys so much for listening. And as always, go Browns.